Hi, this is Paul. A couple of weeks ago, people started sending me some clips from this Whatever podcast, and there's a Whatever Clips channel too. And the clips were sent to me partly because of the marriage crisis videos that we've been doing, and there will be more. We had a little pause, but Eamon and Catherine and Rod and I keep sharing notes on Twitter, and we will come together and do more conversations online about this. But the clips that were sent me were just, in some cases, so jaw-dropping in terms of the honesty and sometimes naivete of the women in the clips. And I haven't seen a lot of this channel, but what the format seems to be, well, I did a little bit of writing about it on CRC Voices, and I thought after I wrote it, well, maybe I'll read some of that for a video, and we'll keep my words a little bit more tight, let's say. This is what I wrote to CRC Voices. Most people here probably don't know anything about the At Whatever podcast on YouTube. I didn't until a couple of weeks ago. Here's the setup. You have a guy with a room with very attractive, almost simulacra-level young women, plus a blow-up blue-haired sex doll, and all they do is sit around the big table where the women talk about their views on sex, morality, dating, and relationships. There's also, mercifully, a clip channel there, because these chats go on about as long as just chatting, and it sounds like they do it twice a week. I've seen a little bit more now, a couple of them, just in research of this, and, you know, I have a sense when I watch this, this isn't unusual what happens on YouTube. Sometimes when I watch things, I'm just watching it thinking, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I've had a couple, I don't know if I'll make a video about some of the other videos that I saw about this recently. Not this, but a different channel. I'm watching something and I'm just seeing it in sort of the way that you drive past a really brutal car accident and you can't quite take your eyes off it. But this isn't that, of course, because, you know, hey, I'm a dude, so I know that there's certainly some sexual triggering and signaling, and it's just kind of this fascination horror thing that I see. And this goes on for hours. I can't take a lot of it in the same way that, you know, you start eating cotton candy and it's after a few minutes, it's like, yeah, enough. So mercifully, there's a clips channel where, of course, they pull out the most provocative, outrageous, jaw-dropping statements by these women. So if you're into women's voices, this channel is for you, sort of. And many of the women are in their early 20s. Every now and then, they'll seem to have someone who's a little bit older. But anyway, I'll keep reading. Now, as you will see, with just a few minutes viewing, and most podcasts are multi-hour sessions, there's a selection of bias at work here, but that doesn't mean that there is a dishonesty here. What is pumped up in these statements is the same as what is pumped up in the sexy fashion, colored hair, wardrobe, and plastic surgery. These young, top of their sexy status hierarchy women have similarly simulacra level obsessions, opinions, ethics, and moralities. They span wildly from the super libertine to the super conservative. And in one that I caught a little bit of this afternoon, you had a very good-looking Christian guy sitting next to the host, and you had another very attractive Christian woman, neither of whom were virgins, but both talking about how they plan to abstain until marriage, and they intend to marry and stay married for life and be faithful to their spouses, people who have, I think, in some ways, obviously had some degree of transformation. Another woman in that, well, maybe I can pull up that group because they were quite something too. So the woman all the way on the left is the one who's saving herself for marriage. The woman next to her grew up in a conservative Christian household, has an OnlyFans site, is a sex worker, does pornography, et cetera, et cetera. when my wife and I were watching Survivor, we were amazed at how many women were pharmaceutical representatives. And by virtue of the Survivor casting of pharmaceutical representatives, as with this one, they seemed like extraordinarily beautiful women who I assume were recruited for their looks so that they could go into doctors' offices and sort of talk the doctors into using pharmaceuticals from one group or another. Makes you think about Big Pharma sort of in the light of a madam. Anyway, this woman here was actually married and in her 30s, which is a little bit unusual. She had a podcast called On the Spectrum, and this woman here is also a sex worker. She's a stripper, et cetera, et cetera. And this one, when she's talking about saving it for marriage, they're sort of responding to that, and they're just all over the map with these things. As my mother often said, beggars can't be choosers, and these women are not beggars in the dating marketplace. Most of these women can have most young men at the drop of a look. Now, as expected by the show's successful creators, the formula works in terms of attention. Attention is not just, I kept some things that I talk about in my videos. If you ever want to see what writing I do, you can go to CRZ Voices. I write on Voices semi-regularly, although I've now brought a lot of people to CRC Voices, which has sort of livened the forum, but has also increased the amount of content that readers are trying to push out. Now, as expected by the show's successful creators, the formula works in terms of attention. The attention is not just the sex appeal, which really can't hold the gaze for 4 hours because of biology. I mean, you sort of look and it's like, wow, beautiful women. And then a few minutes later, it's like, all right, I've seen that. On we go. You know, sex appeal will get you the click on YouTube, but it won't necessarily get you the stay. And, you know, a lot of these women, given an open mic, share what they got in terms of wisdom. And, of course, the chat stream is going. And then if you give like $100, talk about a money-making machine. You know, you've got these super chats for $100 so people can interrupt the conversation and say this and say that. I know in a lot of ways, compared to a lot of you, I'm an internet newbie, but when I see this kind of thing, it's like, what am I looking at? So there it is. Where was I? As expected, the attention is not just the sex appeal, which really can't hold the gaze for 4 hours because of biology, but outrage, ideas, and opinions, which is why the Clips channel works. It produces them quickly and reliably, usually with the sort of, yeah, duh, of course, that only a woman with the power of her young adulthood can deploy. The opinions swing with, yeah, duh, moralisms that again swing from the most libertine to the most conservative moment to moment. There are young women who come in with church and Christian backgrounds who can, and so, heighten the cost of sexuality in their willingness to and ability to not give it away for free. Men propose and women dispose, and some of these girls have figured out that they can demand a very high price. That is remarkably consistent amidst the diversity of opinions is always the, what is remarkably consistent, this is why I wrote the post on Voices, is that the diversity of opinions is always the libertarian disclaimer spirit, but you do you. Now, that's what's amazing, where you'll have, you know, some pretty bold Christians coming in there and saying, yeah, I'm saving it for marriage. And now, part of what's interesting about this, I remember reading, I forget the title of it, but it was by Robin Lane Fox, a biography of early Augustine. And in the fourth century, in late antiquity, there began to arise the, let's call it the hotness of virginity. And families were horrified because, you know, young women and young men had decided to go into monasteries instead of sort of participating in the marital marketplace that was going on in late antiquity. And I believe in sort of the hyper-sexualized marketplace we have today, some of these very attractive young people who are finding faith and going to church are, in fact, leaning towards the same thing. And, you know, whereas I went to a Christian college in the 1980s, this has a different take. This is a sense of, even in as much of a marketplace as this table is on YouTube and Twitch and you have the sense that, as sort of Andrew Tate said in one of the, my video about Andrew Tate that I made, I mean that the most powerful man is the one who can say no. And when you have a table like this, in a sense, the most powerful person in the table is the one who can say no. But they're all still full of opinions and sharing them liberally. But the amazing thing is that even among the Christians, well, it's the you do you attitude that's just so simply pervasive. And in the context of, I just released a, Ben did a conversation with Dave the Distributist and Benjamin Boyce that was just released on Benjamin's channel. I assume that the algorithm will probably promote it to most of you before I replay it on my channel. But you know, part of what's going on in the culture is if the foundation of the culture is fundamentally libertarian, how does that work? And I think this gets into this whole issue of can you have a culture without something at its center? I don't know that I'll play anything. So making me need the earphones. Whether the young woman wishes to use her sexual to take advantage of the full menu of men and women available for her sexual appetite, or whether she decides to use it to use this power to pluck the best man off the top of any male status hierarchy, she chooses. The you do you ethos governs. She shares her judgments with all, yet she'll refrain from certain postures of judgmentalism, even while she's exercising, and the show is harvesting judgments like bullets from a machine gun. That's what sort of amazed me, is the interesting dance between this sort of libertarian, pervasive libertarian ethos and, well, judgmental, not judgmental. It's sort of like the little game we play. No offense intended, and then you just go ahead to lambast the person that you're talking to. It sort of has that character to it. The main casualty in such a context will, of course, be community. Community is a dance for which a common morality are the movements. You can't dance without agreement as to how to step, where to embrace and release, all governed by the music informing and coordinating the process. In other words, what you're not the libertarian ethos will become sort of the shared morality, but you can see all of the dissonance and striving and attempting to try to grab onto a new sexual morality of agreement. Now, again, in late antiquity, Christian virginity and virgin monastic movements emerged, I think, from a similarly libertine culture. One particular moment of church misery in the CRC seems to have the same dilemma. No easy answer here, just the obvious note that we can't dance without agreements. And then I left a link to it because I forgot to in the first. This is how we as a culture are doing collective cognition, especially among the young. Because, you know, whereas myself, who looks at this now in his late 50s, almost 60, not quite knowing how to process this, I would imagine that this is intensely influential for much younger people. And then I continued to write some more subsequent posts on CRC Voices. We are all suffering from the breakdown of the intergenerational wisdom transmission. The older woman here is a pregnant 28-year-old trad wife married to a man in his 50s. The dude on the show is there for the clicks and the dollars. It's easy to say older people need to step up, but it's not an easy challenge. Institutional distrust and breakdown has meant a breakdown of authority structures and hence transmission. The speakers need to win the audience. The audience isn't a given. This is one huge issue in the church. Church has, for many reasons, lost much of the younger audience. We are now an audience rather than part of a They are now an audience, or even to the degree that they are, rather than part of a congregation. issues of sexuality are always far more salient for the young. Why part of the CRC's current conversation on sexuality is such a disaster, even just setting aside positions and content, is that it lacks authority among the young. That's not all the fault of the CRC, but that's cold comfort. Right now, the two dominant postures seem to be a quivering mass of availability pandering to or simply accepting cultural LGBTQ plus scripts, or whatever it feels to many to be simply be rigid orthodoxy. I'm not pointing fingers here. In my experience, CRC people are really trying hard to not be either of those, but in our cultural landscape, this is perception. For all of its considerable flaws, social media is communicating authenticity, even if its wisdom poverty is obvious to the wise. So much of the CRC battle is fought at the wrong level, the level of abstraction and public posturing. It is the ground game that matters. What happens at the local churches and relationship between local leaders and local people. It was for this reason that, for many years, many moderates have been trying to avoid this public showdown in the CRC over same-sex marriage, which is now upon us and will result in some sort of separation. The conservatives aren't as uninformed as the progressives assumed, and vice versa. Now that this disillusion is upon us, we're going to have to figure out how to separate in some ways without losing what the broader communion has to offer. This takes energy away from what really matters, which is, in fact, the ground game. So, just watching bits and pieces of a couple of these, it seems like some of these women are regulars, and again, I can very much understand how these producers are going about building this hit show. This has pushing now 4 million YouTube subscribers. We'll have to see how it wears, because part of what, let's say, poor wisdom tends to lack is duration. Like cotton candy, it tends to outlive its welcome pretty quickly. So here's the host. Here's the good-looking Christian guy who's not a virgin but saving it for marriage. There's the good-looking Christian girl, not a virgin, saving it for marriage. Yeah, this is the world we're living in. And one thing I learned from the comment section is y'all are far more savvy than I am. So leave a comment. Let me know.